The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Matthew chapter 9, if you're a guest with us, our current sermon series is entitled Fruit by the Bushel, how we can be fruitful Christians in this day in which we live. Fruit by the Bushel is a wonderful, wonderful series of messages that God's been using, and I pray He'll use this message today as we look at this subject, the fruit of compassion. And so Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 35, Matthew 9, 35, and if you're a guest with us, if you'll look inside the bulletin on about page 757 in your bulletin this morning, you'll find in the midst of all of that the outline and the scriptures for today's message, and that might help you to follow along as well. So Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you again for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, and help us to see what you have us to see today. Help us to learn of your ways. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone with us today that does not know you personally as Savior, that today they would open their heart and receive you as the free gift of salvation. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the great passages before us in the New Testament this morning, where we find the words of Jesus, and we see that Jesus Christ, in this passage in verse 34, says he was moved with compassion on them. Jesus Christ looked at the people all around him, and he was moved with compassion on them. Today, I want you to consider the fruit of compassion. Perhaps you've heard the story of little Teddy Stoddard. Little Teddy Stoddard was a young boy in elementary school. He was kind of plain in his appearance, somewhat sloppy and disheveled in his clothing and in his attire. And his teacher, Miss Thompson, sometimes looked at this little Teddy as kind of a nuisance. She really at times just marked his papers with red marks and kind of threw them back at him. And he was one of those students that didn't seem very motivated. And it might have helped Miss Thompson if she would have read the cumulative file that the other teachers had passed along her way, giving information about this student. Because in the first grade, his teacher wrote down, Teddy shows promise with his work, but he has a very poor home situation. In the second grade, his teacher said, Teddy could do better. His mother is seriously ill. He receives little help from home. In the third grade, his teacher wrote, Teddy's a good boy. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. In the fourth grade, the teacher wrote, Teddy is very slow. His father shows no interest whatsoever. Well, Miss Thompson, his fifth grade teacher, at the Christmas season, had a little Christmas party, and all the boys and girls in the class came with gifts for their teacher. And as they brought the gifts to Miss Thompson, a lot of the gifts were kind of elaborate, nice gifts, and Teddy brought a gift too. His was wrapped in a brown paper bag with lots of scotch tape. And on the inside, there was a bracelet that had most of the stones had fallen out of it. And there was a half a bottle of perfume. And as he gave that gift and as the teacher opened it, all the kids began to laugh and kind of make fun of little Teddy. But in the midst of that, Miss Thompson, with the teacher's wisdom, took the perfume and splashed some on her neck and on her wrist. And she took the little bracelet and put it around her wrist. And as she had done that, all of the children were silenced with their criticism. At the end of the day, Teddy came by and saw Miss Thompson, and he said, Miss Thompson, you sure smell good. You smell just like my mother. Miss Thompson, that bracelet sure looks good on you. You sure are pretty. Well, Teddy began to show some improvement in class, and in fact, it was several years later that Miss Thompson received a note from Teddy, and it said, Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to know that I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy. 4 years later, another note arrived. Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to know that university hasn't been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy. 4 years later, that fifth grade, sixth grade teacher, Miss Thompson, received this letter. Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy. Well, Miss Thompson did go to the wedding, and she did sit right where his mom would have sat, and she was thrilled with all that had happened in his life, and she was thankful that at the right moment, she made the decision to show compassion on a young boy who simply needed the love of God in his life. This morning, I want to ask you, will you go through this week of busy scheduling and many appointments and perhaps the rush commute and fail to see people the way Jesus sees them? Or would you take time this week to stop and have compassion on people like Jesus had compassion? You see, compassion is your hurt in my heart. And I'm so thankful that when Jesus died on the cross for my sins, he had my hurt in his heart. He had my need on his mind. And it's our prayer this morning that these new facilities to the west, these nurseries, these classrooms, and ultimately this expanded auditorium will simply be the arms of the Lord open wide to this community, showing compassion to children like Teddy who need a chance. Perhaps children like Teddy who have had a mother pass away or a father who doesn't care. That they'll find in this place the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our passage this morning in verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus was going from village to village and place to place, and he was really focusing on three things. First, he was teaching them concerning himself and his kingdom, and then he was preaching to them the gospel of the kingdom, and then he was healing men and women with various different diseases. Jesus wasn't arguing with them about situations in their day. Rather, he was looking for those who would receive the truth, and he was sharing with them that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe this morning the purpose of this church and every one of these buildings is that these are tools that we might witness of the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ, who told us in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so today, as we look at this fruit of compassion, let's learn from the one who knows more about it than anyone else, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your outline there this morning, let's notice, first of all, the compassion of Jesus. The compassion of Jesus. The Bible says in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I want you to see in Jesus' earthly ministry, first of all, he was engaged with people. It says he saw the multitudes. And the word saw means to see with discernment or to see with understanding. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 51 says, "Mine eye hath affected mine heart." And when Jesus saw the people, he didn't just see a crowd, he didn't just count the numbers, but he saw their needs and he felt their burdens. He was fully engaged with them. In fact, in Luke 19:41, it says, "When he came near the city and beheld the city, he wept over it." He knew the burdens of the people in that city. He looked past the lights, he looked past the buildings, and he thought of the needs of those people, people that were lonely, people that needed to know the love of Almighty God. There was an elderly woman by the name of Mamie Adams. And Mamie found her way two or three times a week to the post office in her town. And she would go into the post office and she would buy stamps and she would buy envelopes. And she would kind of visit with the people there at the counter and so forth. And they were friendly to her. And one day she went into the post office and it was a very long line. It was the Christmas season. And she was waiting maybe 30 or 40 deep in that line. And someone said, "Mamie, you know, you don't have to wait in the line. There's a machine right over there. And you can go put the coinage in the machine and get the stamps out and do it that way today if you want to." And she said, "I know." She said, "But that machine won't ask me about my arthritis." And did you know that even in this building today, there are people with severe arthritis and people with sicknesses of all different kinds. And Sometimes we just kind of brush past people. Sometimes we just kind of rush right by someone without really engaging ourselves with them. And sometimes we're bothered by people and we wish they wouldn't play that loud music. We wonder why they do those crazy things to their bodies and what's going on in this world. And sometimes we just see people and we get frustrated. But when Jesus saw people, the Bible says he was engaged, he was moved with compassion. He was engaged with people and he was empathetic with people. Notice it says there, when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. This means that from the inside out, he sensed and had a great heartfelt feeling for their need. He was empathetic toward them. You know, when I visit the mission fields once or twice a year, my heart is always stirred anew and afresh because of the needs that people have. And last week when I was in the Philippines with Dr. Rick Martin, our missionary there for 35 years, and this is one of the little churches that our church paid for and helped construct, one of the 1,200 churches this pastor and his graduates of their college have started in the Philippines. And as I saw the dirt floor and as I saw the living standard there, and we went with his wife one morning and we went out into these shanty town areas, and Becky there, a wonderful Christian woman, was there with these little girls and others, and we were gathering children in child evangelism, and we went from place to place just reaching out to the children, walking up the sidewalks where they lived. Of course, no electricity, no running water. The stench was unbelievable. The humidity was unbearable. And we went around and just kind of observing and helping a little bit and gathering the children together. And then Becky and the others would sing to them and pray with them and give them food and tell them about Jesus Christ. And you know, as I was there with the missionary wife and maybe about an hour, hour and a half into it, I'm telling you, I could not handle the humidity. I couldn't handle the smells. And I actually asked one of the missionaries we were with, I said, can I get some water somewhere? I was hoping maybe for 5 minutes in the air conditioning, and they gave me a little water, and then we went back to another area, and they were singing songs with some more children. And after a little while, Mrs. Becky Martin, who's been there 35 years, never taken a furlough, she says to me, Brother Chapel, if you want, you can go ahead and go to the car now because you got to preach up in the mountains this afternoon and there's some water in there. You go ahead and you go. You know, she didn't have to tell me twice. I was ready to go. And as I went to the Jeep vehicle that took us up into the mountains that afternoon, Ricky, her son, who's also a missionary there now, he said, you know, Pastor Chapel, my mom will be here for another 2 hours today and she comes here 3 times a week to these children. And my heart was certainly moved as I saw the plight of those kids and as I saw the love of this missionary's wife. And I really saw compassion in action. And it was convicting to me that we need to have more compassion as we run these buses to the homes of children whose parents could care less, who many times are hung over on Sunday morning. Somebody's got to reach out. Somebody's got to care for them. Somebody has to reach them with the gospel. Warren Wiersbe said, you are a Christian because somebody cared. Now it's your turn. It's your turn to care for someone, to show them the compassion of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw them as they were fainting and as they were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. They were filled with despondency. They were living under the tyranny of a Roman Empire that was taxing them and taxing them. They were oppressed by the taxes. They were surrounded by false religious systems. Jesus saw it all. He saw their burdens and he cared for them with great empathy. Oh, listen, today there are people who need to know the love of God. And when I think about these nurseries over here to the west, I think about the fact that 43% of all children born in America today are born to a single mom that will never have a father helping. And many of these dear ladies coming into those nice couches in those new nurseries and bringing their little children in, somebody told them they loved them, but then they left. Somebody made a promise that they didn't keep. And I believe that those dear ladies, as much as any young couple bringing their baby in, they need to sense the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ from the Lancaster Baptist Church. They need to know that those nurseries are just for them so that they can come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I think about those classrooms up there where our 9th through 12th graders met this morning and heard the Bible taught, I'm reminded that 84% of Christian teenagers and young people between 18 and 24 in a recent survey said they don't know how to apply the Bible to their everyday life. And I'm thankful that we have youth pastors and youth teachers up in those rooms who are teaching young people how to apply this infallible book to their everyday situations in life, and that we can reach out to Compassion to teenagers who are involved in all kinds of immorality and all kinds of temptation every day of their lives, and reaching out to them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about eventually widening this building, and I pray God will enable us to do that, and I look to that day believing He will, I think about the fact that this year in America, 3.4 million fewer people attended church this year in America than did last year in America. And in some cities, more mosques are being built than churches that preach the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe America needs to come back to the faith of our fathers, back to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we want to make room for what God can do and will do in that way. This should be a place of compassion, spreading the love and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards said, "None are true saints except those who have true character of compassion and concern to relieve the poor, the indigent, and the afflicted." Jude said, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Compassion makes the difference. And so we see the compassion of Jesus. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, the conviction of Jesus. The conviction. Now, I meet a lot of people who will watch a little movie with some starving kids and they feel sad for a minute. But I believe that our beliefs should affect our behavior. If we really believe something, it ought to affect the way we live. So Jesus wasn't just looking at people going, "Aw, that's too bad." But Jesus said, "Let's do something about it." And when you go around the world, and you'll find in many places hospitals and orphanages and all kinds of relief that's given, and you'll often find a cross associated with it, because people with the Spirit of Christ have gone around the world doing their best to make a difference with a heart of compassion. And here we see that Jesus' compassion led him to a conviction that brought about great action. Notice the conviction in verse 37. The Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now, the first conviction we see in Jesus' heart was about an abundant need. He says, "When I look at all these people, the harvest truly is plenteous." There's a lot of people that really need to know the truth. The crop is ready, he's saying, and the time is urgent or plenteous. Now, if you've ever studied the matter of crops and raising crops, there really are three phases to a crop. And the first phase is what you might call green, and the second phase is ripe, and the third phase is rotten. And Jesus is saying, these crops are ripe and ready to be harvested. We don't want to waste any time. We need to reach these people with the truth of the gospel. And he gives us this principle many times in the Bible. John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work." The Bible says that Jesus was always busy about his Father's business. And he wants us to have that sense of urgency when it comes to our compassion. Not pushing it off, not waiting, but doing everything we can to get the gospel message into our community. He says, this is an abundant need. But notice also in verse 37, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. But then he says, the laborers are few. So he has convictions about the abundant need, but also about the absent workforce. He says, there's a lot of people that need to know the truth, but the laborers are few. There's not very many helpers. Now, I want you to know this morning that every one of us can be a part of the harvest. Every one of us can be a part of bringing people to Jesus Christ and letting them know of the love of Jesus Christ. Did you know that the open house next Sunday, as we go out throughout the valley this week inviting people, did you know the open house really is not about just getting a bunch of people so we can say a bunch of people came, but it's about bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's about helping people to know that burdens are lifted at Calvary and the ground is level at the cross, and it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done, Jesus loves you, and that's what next Sunday is all about. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, for we are laborers together with God." And all of us sowing seeds of kindness, all of us sharing the truth of the gospel, all of us inviting people to the house of God and telling others about Christ can be a part of the harvest that Jesus is speaking about. But Jesus says the laborers are few. Now, some of you are going, Pastor, I don't really like to talk about labor on Sunday. I mean, I labor Monday through Friday, but today I want to talk about labor. Well, I want you to understand this morning that this is church, and we come to church to get the mind of God about the Christian life, and Jesus is talking about labor, so let's go ahead and talk about it for just a minute, okay? You just stick right with me. I heard about a little girl that went to the farm. She went to her grandparents' farm, and her name was Michaela. She was five. Her grandparents thought, you know what, let's teach Michaela a little bit about how the farm work takes place. And they took her out in a cornfield, and they were picking ears of corn and putting it in a basket. And it was hot, and Michaela was getting a little frustrated, and she was kind of just trying to do her best. But after a while, she looked up at her grandmother. She said, you know you can buy this stuff in a store, don't you? Now, when it comes to us laboring, I mean, God forbid the thought of some of you actually giving an invitation to a friend, or God forbid knocking on some neighbor's door and saying, hi, I'm from Lancaster Baptist and I want you to come. When we talk about labor like that, some of you might be like Michaela. You might say, could I just pay someone else to do that? Maybe the pastoral staff could do that for me. I'll give some money so some missionaries can do it. But that, you know, I don't do windows and I don't do evangelism. But Jesus says, would you pray with me that some laborers would get involved? Jesus says, I have a convicting urgency about the fact that there's an absence of workers. And someone said we are to evangelize, not because it's easy, not because we may be successful, but because Christ has called us and He is our Lord. We have no other choice than to obey our Lord. Psalm 126 and verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him and rejoicing. I want you to understand, the seed that we bear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the word of God. And when the seed of the gospel is sown, then there can be a harvest. Then people can have it springing up within them. And on the back of every one of these little invitations are the scripture verses. And the power is not in the color or the design. The power is in the word of God. And when we sow the seed of the word of God and people hear what Jesus did and that he alone died and rose again on the third day, God begins to work in hearts. But there must be laborers to sow that seed. There must be laborers to share that message. And so this is the one and only prayer request of Jesus Christ. And for those who don't want to think about labor on Sunday, look at it again. Jesus says, the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. But notice thirdly, the commission of Jesus. The commission of Jesus. And see it in verse 38. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, this is the one and only prayer request that Jesus ever gave. So let's read it together. It's in your notes there, or find it on the paper. Matthew 9, verse 38. Might be in red letter edition in some of your Bibles. Let's read that verse together. Ready? Begin. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. All right, men, let's read it now. Sort of like you're rooting for your favorite football team, all right? Ready? Here we go. Pray ye therefore. Now, don't pray too much because you might be one of those laborers. But Jesus said, I want you to pray for laborers to go into the harvest. So we see a commission to pray. He says, pray ye therefore. And I believe we ought to begin praying. And I want to ask you today, on behalf of Jesus and specifically from Jesus, I'm asking you, let's pray for laborers. And I think about this week in particular, as we gather together on Monday mornings and Monday evening and Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening and Thursday evening and then Friday morning and then next Saturday morning at 9:30 in this auditorium, we're going to gather together with hundreds of friends. We've mapped out the valley. We're going to go to every home we possibly can, talk to everybody we can talk to, and tell them Jesus still loves them, Lancaster Baptist still loves them, and at least give them the opportunity to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you today, would you pray with me for laborers? Pray that God will bring forth laborers, and that like a mighty army, we would gather together and do the work of God. And by the way, this ministry exists to not only labor here in the Antelope Valley, but also to send laborers around the world. Lancaster Baptist School, Lancaster Baptist High School, West Coast Baptist College. Listen, we're in the ministry of training up laborers. And not every one of these kids is going to go into full-time ministry, but every one of them ought to grow up at least knowing how to share the faith of Jesus Christ with someone else. And as I was preaching overseas this past week, it was a blessing for me to see some of those that have been trained right here on this campus. I was preaching in Korea at a couple of different meetings, and after this meeting, they said, we want all of those of you that are graduates of West Coast just to meet down here for a picture with Pastor Chapel. I thought there might be one or two. Here are young people who sat with you in these chairs and taught classes with us and learned about soul winning and learned about Jesus, and now they're in South Korea telling other people about Jesus. That's an answer to prayer. Pray for the laborers to go. Then we went to the Philippines, and I preached there several churches, and this one here is in Manila, and it was packed out, no air conditioning, no padded seats. I mean, it was hot and sweaty, and folks were even sitting out in the street at this particular church. Talk about fire department issues. I mean, they literally put chairs in the street so that they could hear the preaching of the gospel. And right before I stood up to preach, a young lady stood, and she sang about Jesus. Her name's Annika. She's a graduate of West Coast Baptist College. She spent 4 years here learning how to do it, learning music, major in music, learning how to exalt Christ in music. And then we traveled to mainland China and somewhat quietly moved about and went up 7 flights of stairs to a business type of building and down a long corridor. And there were some missionaries and Chinese pastors that rather secretively were gathered there to hear the message of Jesus. And they brought members of their house churches where they preach in these little apartment buildings on Sundays. And we had the privilege of preaching the gospel to them. And after the service, 2 men came up. They said, hey, Pastor Chapel, these 2 young men, graduates of West Coast Baptist College, over there in China today, teaching English, and in their homes, they're having 60 and 70 people every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. They're teaching them the gospel of Christ. They're leading people to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friends, we ought to thank God as we give and as we serve at this church that there's a multiplication of laborers going out into the harvest field. And Jesus said, pray for these laborers. There's a need for laborers to go all around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives us a commission to pray, but notice finally, he has a commission to send. And the Bible says in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He says, we need the kinds of laborers that'll go out where it really matters, not just to the pretty people, not just to the people that already are Christians, but going out where the seed needs to be sown. Go out into the harvest field. Now, I think that means, first of all, our community. This is our Jerusalem. And this week, we have as a major emphasis going into this community with the gospel. And some of you might sometimes wonder, and maybe our neighbors might think, man, they're kind of weird. They're going around all the time trying to tell us about Jesus all the time. And by the way, we could be selling drugs. You ought to be a good neighbor, and they ought to be glad that you are their neighbor, and you ought to never be bashful about telling someone about Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 14:22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. He says, go to Division Street and 30th East and 30th West and go out to J8 and go out to Kettering Street and go out to the highways and hedges. And he says, by the way, compel them to come in and ask him, would you be my guest next week? And by the way, next Sunday after this service, every one of you that have a guest are invited out to the gymnasium for a wonderful chicken cordon bleu lunch. And it's a free lunch. We figured out Baptists like free lunches. Amen. So that's a little incentive for you, but it's also something for your friend. So that when you invite them, you're inviting them to hear the music, to hear a message, to see the open house, to see the new facilities, but most of all, to have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in our community, Jesus says, pray that there would be some laborers that would go out and then into our world. I mentioned a moment ago our missionary program, over 200 missionaries. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus says, I want you to be about all of that at the same time. Thank God for the Rick and Becky Martins that are over in the Philippines so that we can be here doing our part, and they are there doing their part, and the world needs to hear the gospel. And Jesus says, pray for laborers that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, Jesus had compassion on everyone he saw because Jesus knew that the lost needed to be saved. And Jesus knows that a day of judgment is coming. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But listen very carefully as I close. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. It's not his desire. He sent his only begotten Son that that might be avoided. In fact, in your notes is this little verse, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. I think on the back of the notes, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Notice this next phrase, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, I don't want anybody to perish. I'm sending out laborers with my good news. I'm trying to tell them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says, except by me. It's not by the Baptist church or the Lutheran church or the Catholic church. It's by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want anybody to perish. That's why I'm sending out laborers. Now look, somebody might slam the door right on my face this week. And you might say, well, they're nice to you. You're the pastor. Not always. Someone might say, get out of here. But listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell others because Jesus wants me to. He's commissioned us to do that. And he says, I don't want anybody to perish. And I want my church to have enough compassion to know that at the end of this life, there is an afterlife. There is an eternity somewhere. I don't want anybody to perish. I want everybody to turn to me so that they'll have a home in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There might be someone here this morning. You don't have to wait for next Sunday's open house. The truth be told, you do not know this morning in your heart of hearts that heaven's your home. You don't know that you have eternal life in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus Christ really is the way. The Bible says there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus said you must be born again. To receive Christ as Savior, to acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that. I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, he has the power and the authority to do the saving because he and he alone conquered death and the grave. He shed his blood to be the covering for our sin. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life on this earth. He was tempted in all points like we are tempted, but Jesus never sinned one time. And when he went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, that blood became the atonement for our sin. And when he rose up on the third day, he provided for our justification. And to this very moment, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. That's what these new buildings are for. And that's what next Sunday's all about. And frankly, that's what today's about. So that everyone has the opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Lord, we thank you today that you have provided for us a way of salvation and that you so compassionately came to this earth. And you allowed Roman soldiers to pull your beard, to pierce your side, to bruise your body, and you gave up your life compassionately for us. So we thank you for that. And we pray this morning that you would help us, Lord, to first of all make sure in our own hearts that we have truly turned to you and trusted you alone as our Savior. And secondly, for those who do know you, help us to be those laborers this week out there in the harvest field of humanity, telling men and women and boys and girls that Jesus cares for them and inviting them to a place where that message is clearly given. So, Lord, we pray this morning that whatever the need of the hearts, that you would speak to each one.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share it with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through his word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.